man. Damn, I can't believe she's late. I knew I shouldn't have agreed to this.
I hope you didn't think I'm just ghosting him, because I hate being late and I hate this. I'm rushing so hard to get there.
Man, I heard she got a kid too. I want to date somebody with a kid. I don't know. Wait, I don't think I'm supposed to know that. Okay, I'll just react. I'll just act like I don't know. Okay. Damn, should I leave?
My kid is always making me late. Like, I always have the one last thing to do, one last little hug to give, but it's all good. It'll be okay. I'm only a few minutes late.
All right, I hope she gets here soon, because if not, I'm definitely gonna leave. Oh, man.
Hey.
Oh, hey.
Sorry.
Oh
my sorry. God.
Thank so you for late. Coming.
Yes. Sorry, I'm a little bit late.
No, you're good. You're good.
That is the usual.
No worries. How are you?
I'm doing okay.
It's been a long time.
I know. It's been years. Man, literally.
I should have pulled your chair
it's
out.
It's okay. It's all right. I'm an independent woman.
I mean, yeah, but you know, chivalry's still alive, you know, here and there.
Yeah.
It's nice to see you.
Nice to see you as well.
It's been a while.
I don't even know how many years it's been, but nice that you reached out.
All right, so let me tell you this. We actually spent a day together.
I know, before. I remember.
It's been driving me crazy. I don't remember how that happened.
I think what it was that you were into your photography bag at the time. We actually hung out, I think, a couple of times differently.
Really?
Yes, there was one time
we hung out more than once.
Yep, one time where we did like a photo shoot, and then another time where we were just hanging out.
Yeah.
And then a third time where I saw you at a street festival, and I like joined your friends.
That's the one I'm thinking about. Yeah. Okay.
But a couple times, three times maybe.
Man.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
That was pre a lot of things.
Yeah. Well, either way, it's nice to see you. You know, I was talking to my therapist recently, and everybody's giving me the advice. It's like, man, when you go on a date, just treat it like an interrogation.
Why?
That way, like, you just figure out what it is, you know, like, from jump.
Yeah.
We don't have to waste each other's time and everything like that, so.
I mean, does it have to be an interrogation or a true, like, trying to find
I've been
in connection and intimacy, yeah, rather than coming in with like a list of questions and a checklist?
I actually brought those. Oh my God. Is that like, yikes, super like type A right now? Is that, do you want to leave?
No.
Yeah, okay. I mean, it might be fun. You know what I'm saying?
Let's, all
right. First, are you hungry?
I'm starving.
All right, yeah. Cool. Let's get something to eat.
All
right. I have no idea what I want.
I usually get same thing when I come here.
What do you get?
I either get the fried, quote unquote, chicken sandwich, yeah, or I'll get like just a mac and cheese. But the onion rings, they go hard. But we don't need that right now. Mm. I give you onion breath.
Actually, the onion rings are,
yeah.
Yeah, you usually like when people you go on dates usually eat the same thing.
No, why would we do that?
No, I mean, like, do you have, like, I worded it wrong. Like, do you have the same, like, diet?
No, not at all. I'm very open and free and eat a lot of things. And yeah, my diet is completely whatever. Okay. I'm not a picky eater, but I've been on dates with people who are such picky eaters. They're not adventurous eaters. And I'm just like,
yeah,
maybe that's not the vibe, because I love going to restaurants that are new, like,
yeah,
having an experience. That's actually super important for me.
Yeah,
the
yeah,
foodie aspect of, yeah, someone. And it's not a deal breaker, but it's nice to experience new foods from, yeah, different areas.
Yeah.
I love a Michelin restaurant, so I'm all about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, see, here's the thing. I'm a big time foodie.
Okay.
But I eat very differently than I used to.
Like, wow, you got acid reflux?
I used to.
You keep the tums on?
First time? Yeah. No. I don't do none of that. Okay. But like, first time I got acid reflux, I thought, I was like, what is this?
Yeah, it was pretty painful.
Nah, it was GERD. It was like, oh, just straight up. Okay. Like, it was bad. It was bad. And
I have Pepsin.
Yeah, so yeah, now they try to do that. I just change how you eat.
Yeah.
So now I don't.
Interesting.
I haven't eaten meat in like going on 8 years this July.
That's intense.
And yeah. I also mostly like gluten free. I mostly eat like a plant based diet and like a gluten free.
Yeah, I mean, well, here we
are. Do you want to leave now?
No, I don't judge people for
their
choices.
Such an adventurous eater. So. Yeah.
But adventurous means vegan, means trying out different things, being plant-based as well. But, like, I wouldn't adopt your diet.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, I would stick with mine, and you do you. And that's another thing about, like, dating and relationships that I don't vibe with is when people feel as if they have to be one or have the same taste or have the thing. But I want independent lives that come together and enrich each other's lives.
Absolutely.
Not just trying to do the same thing that the other person is
doing.
Like, what are we going to start wearing? Matching outfits? Like, you know, which is cool. I'm down for it.
I mean, but in my bag.
But I'm not that person. Like, do you. I'm going to do me.
Yeah.
We'll come together and converge where we need to.
That's well said. Because I'm not a proponent of everybody. Like, I think that's the thing where people get defensive when you tell them how you eat. But I'm like, no, I don't.
Yeah, I'm not.
I think you should figure out what works best for you.
Exactly.
And everyone's body's different. So like, you got to figure out your.
I'm not a meat eater in terms of like, it's not something I gravitate towards, but it is something that I need, right? So like, I find that when I'm lessening the amount or quantity of meat that I'm eating, I'm anemic. So I have to adjust, but I don't like the taste. Like honestly, I tell people I don't like chicken and they're like, what? How can you be black and not like chicken? I'm like, wow, stereotypes.
Super racist.
But, and black people tell me how I can be black and not like chicken, but I don't like the taste. Unless it's like a non-processed chicken, right? Like, no antibiotics, no anything. Like a true chicken that I know was raised on some farm free, it tastes different. But I'm not a meat eater, but I'm not going to make someone also not be a meat eater. But I do like my bacon. I'm Cape Verdean. Everything has pork. It's really hard. Right? And in the past, I've dated.
My mom almost disowned me when I told her I wasn't eating meat no more. Yeah, that's for sure.
And in the past, I've dated like Muslim folks, right? Who I've brought over to my house and then have to explain to my parents, like, you can't put pork. And they're like, so what are we going to make? And I'm like, what are you talking about? There's so many foods that we don't need to.
I know.
But it's that too, like different religions and different eating patterns, all open. Yeah. I don't care.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. So where are you going to eat?
See, I don't want to leave now.
No, don't
I thought about leaving.
Why
Full disclosure.
Why would you think about
leaving? Well, you were late.
I was like 10 minutes late.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah.
15, but.
15. Yeah. I'm sorry. I have a very busy life and I also have a child.
So you have a child?
I have a child.
Oh, wow.
And so that takes priority and I like to keep him tucked in and in bed. And that's why we're meeting so late as
I just thought you had a second family.
I mean, I do. First and second. But, and that's something too that I usually get that out of the way through text messages. But since this was what I thought, you know, like I've known you for many years, so why not just come and see what, and then we can talk about it as you see. But usually that's like the first thing.
Gotcha.
It's like a hello, hi, I have a child.
Yeah.
And then that weeds out the folks who don't need to be here. Yeah.
Is that a lot of them?
I think it's important to tell upfront because I've been in an unfortunate situation, actually with the father of my child, where he actually withheld information about having a child.
Oh, this is like some Ursher confession situation.
Yeah, no, but like right off the bat, like when we first met, because I had said at the time that I did not want to date anyone with children. And so I led with that. And then I said, wait, do you have any children? Looked him dead in the eyes. And he was like, no, I do not. And he denied having a child. And I found out months later. And the issue with me is, why did I keep going with that relationship when you denied a child? Like, now having a child, I could never.
You stayed.
Yeah. Big red flag. And that's a.
Big red flag for you.
For me and for other people. So, but that's why I'm in therapy. But as I've come to like figure out that whole point in my life and what was going on at that time and why I allowed that, come to find out that after watching so many TikToks of other people's stories, like what's her name? Risa Tisa, whatever it was, that was talking about the narcissistic.
Who's that? Oh, I might have seen her, but
you missed it. But it's now becoming a life, like a movie.
Oh, wow.
And now recently I just watched another one where it's this woman recounting her narcissistic abusive relationship. And it's a pattern that men have. And that's something that is also a topic we should touch upon.
Listen, but I am not here representing my gender.
No.
I'm here for myself and myself only.
Well, we'll see.
Oh, my God.
But yeah, it's a lot. And I like to also put that out in the forefront because it's sort of made me really not into the right. Yes. Like it's very unfortunately. Yeah. Like I don't give people a lot of grace for mistakes because I'm just like, why? I already did that.
I did that
and it turned out very badly. And I'm not into sort of putting down my boundaries or like getting rid of them or inching them further and further away from the boundary that I had just to make something work.
Yeah.
So yeah. Mm-hmm. Learned a lot. Yeah. A whole lot.
Someone really likes Sade, and I appreciate it. That's the second Sade song that came on.
It's a good date song.
Man, okay. So what are you thinking?
I'm definitely going to get that fake fried chicken.
The fake fried chicken.
And see, that's a messy food to eat.
Yeah, you're, man, it's a good thing you knew me already, because.
Yeah. Would that be something you're judging people about? Oh, my God, there are too many rules in this dating.
I don't, you know what I don't like? Okay. You know, Lauryn Hill, Unplugged 2.0. This is one of the things I quote the most, right? She talks about those skits are life, life.
Yeah.
She talked about how Rohan Marley, that her husband, how, you know, when they first dated, how they went out to eat. And he was like, you must not like me. And he was like, and she was like, why? And he was like, well, you eat like, you don't do the proper, like, how women typically act when you go on date, where like they're putting up a front, right? And so she talked about giving people who you are from jump, because if you give them another version of yourself, you can only keep that up for so long. And then you wake up at some distant day and you're like, wait, what did she say? She was like, where's that man that used to do and you stop doing that. So I appreciate real. So if you're going to get a little sauce there, where you going in?
I mean, I'm not that person. So I agree with that quote, Ben.
Yeah.
There you go. But yeah, that's what I would
Man,
like.
Man, we could talk forever. Like, I don't know. What the?
Have you chosen?
For you, I heard you're a strong, independent woman. So I'm not.
You're not what?
I'm not trying to choose for you.
Oh, I already chose. You're good. You don't have to. That is hilarious.
Let me see.
Okay.
Maybe the kale salad and some sweet potato fries. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'll do.
Here's the question of the night, though. How is this being split?
Oh,
are
I got
you trying to
no, no, I don't, I don't. Man. Listen. There are certain
that's
things
important.
That like
that's a topic.
I'm progressive.
Mm-hmm.
I try to consider myself a futurist in many ways, but there are many things that I'm always going to be
gendered.
No, what's the word? Patriarchal, classical, primitive, like whatever the term is. But it's like nah, like traditional. That's the
there
word I was
go.
Looking for. I think if a woman, if a man is dating a woman, like I just believe like he should pay. And again, like this is where I am today. Like I've talked about this before, like where, you know, sometimes when you're younger and you're battling so many things, but like, no, like you should pay, bro.
You know, that is a new thing that I have just adopted.
Where you're like,
where you
don't pay?
Yeah. I didn't used to be like that. I used to be like 50-50 all the time, or I'll pay for dinner, or I'll do this and that. I mean, I was just in a relationship where we split everything. But it all evened out. Sometimes I would get the bill. He would get the bill. And
how long were y'all together?
3-4 years.
Well, that's different. And I'm like, you know, when a man is courting a woman, he should pay. when you get serious, it's like.
But why? What do you think that's doing? Is setting up that you're the provider?
I think it should just be. No, because like if you're courting a woman, I think there are certain things that still hold true, hold value. It's like if you're courting a woman, mm-hmm. there's certain things that you do. You pull the chair out for her. Now, I'm not saying every time, but like you show
but
her
why
that.
Not every time. So if you're so back there, to your quote
there are,
that you just
there are
said,
times where it's like fun. it just doesn't work out. Mm. You get what I'm saying? Like
I don't, which is why I'm
New
asking.
England gets cold. If it's 10 degrees outside, there's times it's like, yeah, hey, we both need to get in this car, so I can't go and open the door for you. Yeah. That's what I mean.
I feel like I've been on dates where I'll go ahead and open the door for the man, and it's like,
really?
Yeah, if we're about to walk into a restaurant, I'll open the door and be like, after you. And it's like it throws them off. It's like, wait a minute, what? And I'm like, wait. And then there's like a little moment where I'm like, oh my goodness, did I just emasculate this man because he's very traditional and I didn't know that because I thought I was dealing with someone progressive. And then it becomes a little contentious, and I'm like, you know, you can open the door for me other times, but I love opening doors for people. I feel like it's such a courtesy be able. And I think that when, like, don't get me wrong, I love having things paid for by other people, male, woman, female, whatever.
Yeah.
But I think sometimes when that is expected or when that is part of the dating world, mm-hmm. like these expectations we've set for each other, we can fall into these traditional molds that actually aren't fitting for us. And it's all a front, and it's all a courting sort of grooming technique that you're doing.
But you say grooming?
Yeah, but if you can't keep it together, if you can't go like that till the end, then why even start that way? If you're not going to be covering every single thing for the rest of my life or time with you, then why are we even beginning that way? Because that is just false. Right? And so for me, it's been very interesting taking on this stance, which is very recent. Like I only started doing that in the last like 6 months or 7 months or 8 months, where I've been like, you know what, I'm not even gonna reach for my card. I'm gonna look at the person and be like, so
are you taking care of this girl?
I didn't even bring my card, you know, like I
got
didn't
your
bring
card
my
or
money,
you washing dishes.
I didn't do it, but I'm still the person who loves to plan dates. I don't want that expectation. I also think it's fun to cater to someone's likes. So for example, I think that's part of intimacy and part of getting to know someone is how fun is it to plan a date and like get that person.
Absolutely.
Right? And when we keep in these traditional molds where the man is supposed to plan everything, the man's supposed to pay for everything, especially in heterosexual couples, I feel like we miss out on the humanity of men. And as women, we keep saying like, we want men to be emotionally mature. We want men to do this. We want men to lead. But if your expectations aren't spoken about in the first place, you're setting yourself up for failure, I think. And then if you are constantly putting on this burden, I think it's a burden on men to be a provider, to be this all encompassing male figure that is built under this patriarchal stance, you don't get to see the full human in front of you. And you don't get to be emotionally vulnerable with them. You don't get to have the element of surprise. Like, how fun is it, like, if I just picked you up and I was like, you know what, you don't have to think of anything, like, I'm just gonna take you on a date, and I've heard you and I've listened to you and I've heard you say that you like this, you like that, and I'm gonna pick out the things. Of course I want you to pay for it. So anyway, go and order this food because I'm not hungry.
Listen.
Yeah.
Now that I know I'm not going to be paying for everything,
you got yourself
a second date. You don't got to beg. You don't got to get no key sweat going on over here.
No begging here. So
fried chicken.
Yeah. And the grapefruit mojito. No hito. No alcohol.
Grapefruit. No hito.
Yeah, it's just
no
juice.
Alcohol. All right, cool.
Thank you. Thank you.
They're waiting for you to go pay your half.
That's so funny. We're going to be washing dishes. Honestly, I forgot my whole card, whole purse. I don't even wear a purse. You see, I've embraced this. I'm not even wearing anything. I'm just vibing. I'm just coming out. Yeah. So,
yo.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. Who came up with your Instagram name?
That's a good question. So I got Instagram right when it came out.
Yeah.
And that name was actually my Twitter name because Twitter came out way before Instagram.
Oh, can you get a straw?
And Giant Munchkin. So I, at the time, on my mom's side, I was one of two. Oh, is that mine?
Yeah.
Oh. Bring your germs all over me. Okay.
Sanitize it.
Oh, Lord. Where's the hole?
Nobody knows. I wasn't going to make the joke.
That would be sad. No, but for real, there's like...
Let me see. I got you.
Thank you. Back to you. Let's figure this out together. Our first challenge. Honestly, there's no hole in there.
I think you're supposed
to... Here's what's going to happen. We're just going to open it up.
Yeah, I think that's what it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
And then if you don't finish it, you could take it to go.
I doubt that that's what it was, but okay.
Yeah. No, really, there's no hole.
There's really no hole.
Yeah.
Anyway, first challenge, success. So the giant part is because at the time, I have a bunch of male cousins. So on my mom's side, I'm one of like, I don't know, 10 or something.
Yeah.
And we're only two girls.
Yeah.
And I'm the tallest one. Gotcha. So they always called me like the tall little one.
Yeah.
Then I made up this name called Giant Munchkin because they used to be called the Munchkin.
Yeah.
And that's how it stuck. So I had it on Twitter, then I had it on Instagram, and then... As I became more professional, I changed my name on Twitter to At Your Cervix for being a midwife.
At Your Cervix.
Yeah,
I like that.
At Your Service, but I'm at Your Cervix, right?
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah. And, you know, just make sure you're keeping up. And I kept the Instagram one, even though now that everybody and their mom is on Instagram, they all have like these cute professional names or they've changed it, but I'm like, I don't care. That's my name.
Gotcha.
My stuff is private anyway.
Yeah.
So it's not like people are finding me to follow. I'm not.
You are private. Okay.
I'm not trying to be a public.
Yeah.
Presence on the internet.
Gotcha. No, I hear that. Man.
So yeah.
I mean, you are taller than me.
I am taller than you.
I thought it would be a lot worse. You know what I mean? But it's not. I'm
5'9", almost 5'10".
You know. So we'd be like Pharrell and his girl.
For sure.
And she'd be like, this picture, she'd be like towering over him.
And I like to wear
But they look good together. They look good together.
Yeah. No, they do. I mean, I have nothing against short people.
What's the shortest guy you've dated?
The shortest was like 5'8".
Yeah.
I think. Maybe 5'9". I'm trying to remember exactly.
So y'all are, that's like... But then when you wear heels, like that's something that women have to think about. Like,
I don't have to think about it. You have to think about it. As a man, do you feel...
But there's women that do care about that, is what I'm saying.
But I'm saying for me, I'm talking about me, myself, and I don't care. I think that is such a trivial thing, like just in the same way that we give attention to such trivial things, like height. You can't control that. I'm going to pretend you're not like a fun, nice person because my God, can't be with you because you're this, but like you have all these other qualities. And I can't control the fact that I'm tall, but what you can control is the way your confidence is.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of short men who are insecure, and that's why they only go after the 5'3s and the 5'2s. Yeah. But actually, you know what? Short men are not insecure because they will come and holler. They love a tall gal.
Yeah.
But I will say the people in like the 5'10 to 5'11 range, they're the most insecure.
And they're the ones because you're too close to them. So they feel like,
And then
because they're used to like probably dating the 5'2, 5'3 girls where they feel giants. They feel like giants.
I'm big spooning them. I'm kidding. I'm not.
Yeah.
It's interesting because, and then people love to think they're 6 feet tall until I show up and they're like, you're really tall. And I'm like, because you're not 6 feet. You are 5'10". Quit playing. And then when I wear my 3-4-inch heels and I'm sitting at 6'2", and they're like, like, exactly. So why lie on your dating app is the moral of the story. Because we're going to find out.
Yeah.
If we meet in person, we will find out.
Yeah,
Yeah. Just be real. Just be truthful yeah. about who you are.
Absolutely.
And be confident in your short king size.
Yes. Short king. Short king.
Yeah.
You asked me if I care. Mm-hmm. I don't care. Mm. It's just that most women usually care. So, but I don't care. I really don't. Because, you know why? Because it's like early on in life, you have to know who you are, what mm-hmm. you bring to this world.
Right.
And what I knew, appreciate it, man. Oh,
that's a go. Did you order it to go? Oh, it's because it's at the market. Oh, we're not at the restaurant.
Oh, gotcha, yeah. gotcha. Yeah.
It's like a picnic.
Man. It's like what?
A picnic.
Yeah, right?
I have another set of a fork. Oh, there it is. Oh, you're going to give me the one who fell? I'm kidding. Give me. It's okay. Thank you.
Like opening up, remember the CD players and Walkmans back in the day? Like, mm-hmm. I'm like, why do they make things like they don't want you to open them?
Who knows? That looks like a good salad. I'm jealous.
Looks good, right?
You want some? No, I have this lettuce, like a rabbit. No,
I get food. I hate people.
Hate? That's a big word.
No, I really do. Like people who get, and they're like, this, no, food is like, along with music, is like the most communal thing we mm-hmm. have. On, like, why would you, that's what brings the world
See,
together.
See, on a first date, I'm not going to do that. But in subsequent times, no is a loose word. You know, I know of you.
You're right.
I don't know you like that. You know what I mean?
You're right.
So I will share my food, but it's taken a long time to get to that point. Because I didn't grow up with people sharing food in my house.
Yeah.
Like, your food was your food. What was on your plate is your plate. And no one else can touch. So it's been a learning curve.
I feel that.
Yeah. Oh, look at that. I'm so sorry.
So we don't have to share the beet ketchup.
The beet ketchup. Wow, I didn't know they were interested.
Oh, you didn't? You never had that here?
Mm-mm.
Yeah. So,
got your questions?
So to answer your question, because mm-hmm. I'm really big on that, I've been accused of not answering questions.
Okay. Uh-oh.
And one time,
evading them.
What? Yeah. One time, it caused like a big, big issue, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was in Miami and I met this girl that I was like love struck mm-hmm. about. We were like texting, and I'm trying to like, we're gonna meet up, we're gonna like go out or whatever. Mm-hmm. And we were like texting, asking each other questions, and she asked me how old I was, and.
How old are you,
brother? So listen, let me tell you this.
No. Answer the question.
I'm
quickly
41.
Okay, wow. You don't look
so
like
exactly. So like, you know, the people that like, yeah. especially when you don't look your age, you do the whole like, how old do I look?
And no,
you,
I don't do that. But you
don't do that. Most people do that.
Okay.
And it creates conversation, right?
It's actually really annoying, but yeah, go ahead.
Man, so I thought we were gonna do that on I thought we were gonna do that mm-hmm. when we meet up. I had a date, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So then it turned into this big thing, and she was like, she thought I was being so evasive and this and that, and she thought I was like hiding something. So it like just
in this day and age,
it spiraled very. This is like some years back, like maybe like within the last 5 years. But yeah, it turned into like this huge thing.
Yeah, nobody's trying to get catfished.
And I was like. But she saw me like in real life. Like
who
like,
cares? You could have been 23. You don't know. Like nobody wants to date a young person if that's not what they're looking for. And then also you could have been 54. Black don't crack. And also confusing. And also it just feels weird to not answer the question when asked.
That was a big lesson for me.
Yeah.
Because that's not why I was doing it, but I had to like later mm-hmm. see it from her perspective. Yeah. And I was like, okay, I get it, but I don't know. I feel like from the connection we have, like that wasn't something that
you just met.
Yeah, but like I didn't think it was big enough to be like, well, I'm not gonna see where this goes based on that.
Mm.
But maybe she saw it as a red flag of me being evasive or withholding information about like a kid or something like that. Like, you know what I mean? So I get it. I get it. So listen, so I actually do like some of these questions that me and my friends came up with.
You and your friends. You and your friends.
It was me. I didn't want to seem crazy.
No. Crazy is you and your friends sitting around making a list of questions you're gonna ask. But yeah.
So the first 11 I came up with, I like to give like names to things. So it's called 11 Cent.
Okay.
It's a play on Heaven Sent.
I don't know what that is, but cool. Is that a game that you used to play when you were younger?
Heaven Sent?
Yeah.
Nah, like it was just the term, like
Heaven Sent. Oh, Heaven Sent. Oh yeah, that was a little game. Like,
nah. Nah. So what's one word to describe life right now?
Hectic. Yeah.
What are some of the names of who raised you?
Dina, that's my mom. Octavio, that's my dad. And I had a lot of mentors. Cece Ledbetter, Jack Richter, Sandy Richter. I don't know why they're saying their full government names, but
look them
up. Lots of teachers that I can't remember their names, but made impact in my life.
Mm-hmm.
But those were the core folks who raised me and instilled into me this worldview that I have.
I like it. One word to describe yourself as a child / adult.
Stubborn.
For both?
Yeah. I would say now I'm obstinate, but stubborn as a child.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, that's the word and the story that I told that helped me win Miss Junior Teen Rhode Island when I was younger.
Well, obstinate?
No, stubborn. Like the story of why I would describe myself as stubborn.
Gotcha.
Back in the day.
Favorite thing you do for your mental health?
Pilates.
I saw you've gotten into Pilates. You feel like Pilates is like all the craze now?
I mean, it is a craze. It is trendy. Mm-hmm. But I think it's perfect for me in the way that I'm not a traditional like working out person. Like I only did sports because I was told to.
Really?
And the sports that I did were individual like sports. So
would you do like chess?
Come on now. Cross country.
Mm-hmm.
So individual running. Things that push you and only you. No team sports.
Mm-hmm.
I did crew, which is rowing.
Really?
But that is a team sport. But yeah. Also, it's very individualistic because you have to push yourself to mm-hmm. meet the team's expectations.
Yeah.
And I did golf.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice. Mm. You still play?
No. Not a fan. But I didn't.
I did cross country for like 2 or 3 weeks.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, the day that I was only doing it to get in shape for basketball.
Okay.
But the day I went to practice and they told me that we were going to run to Lincoln Woods.
Yeah.
And I asked them, who's bringing us back?
You said no.
That's the day I quit. See, I was like, I'm in shape enough for basketball. I didn't go.
Wow. I had been doing running since like middle school. And because of my long legs. And I was pretty good at it.
Yeah.
And then everyone thought I would do basketball, but I like can't stand team sports. Like I don't really want that ball near me. I get hit within my face all the time. I'm not athletic like that. And that's also something
mm-hmm.
that I've noticed is that I tend to attract athletic looking men because they think
you play basketball.
They think
so. They want to do the love and basketball scene.
That I look athletic, and they're like, "Oh yeah, that's the one." I've had people come up to me and tell me that they would like to have a child with me, just because of the way I look. Because they're like
so they can
trying
be tall
to get some basketball players. Yeah. I don't know. They're NBA dreams for my genetics. Yeah. It's crazy.
That's like that scene in Dodgeball, and he's like, we should mate.
Basically, that's what they're like, can I breed you, is what they're saying, which is like so gross. But
God.
I'm not a sport, like I have no coordination with something else.
Really?
But the thing is I think that's just a story I tell myself, because when I actually put myself to the test, I'm putting in buckets. Yeah. So like some
already, yeah, you know, I play.
I don't know all the rules, but I do know that is a basket and this is a ball and I'm throwing it in, you know, I got to do one of these.
Yeah.
Not even the right way. But it goes.
Interesting. Yeah. So now I just realized you got a beauty mark on your lip.
I do?
Yeah.
That wasn't there
Wait,
before.
Wait, did you not know that?
Is this a salad thing?
Wait, it's not is that like
I think it's a salad thing.
Pepper or something?
Damn, am I looking messy out here?
Hold on, come here. Never mind, it was
just food. No beauty mark.
Oh my God. Like, I was gonna say matching, but
no,
never mind.
I was not there earlier, so
all right, back to this. We digress.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was gonna say, yeah, the next one is actually preferred way to be physically active.
My preferred way,
mm-hmm.
Damn, I'm not. I didn't want to say what exactly came into my mind. But I would say walking.
Not a kid's show. You can.
I prefer making
sense. Both adults. I think everybody knows how you got that kid.
Oh, wow. It was that way. It was an IBS, that's for sure. But yeah, no, it's a great activity. I just don't want it to turn overtly on the first day. You don't want to be like that. Or maybe you do. Who knows? Whatever rocks your boat.
Next one. What is your view of money?
That is such a good question because I've had to do a lot of introspective work on money and what that means to me, because I think we all have like emotional ties to money and the way that we were raised. And I was raised, I would say, in a very interesting way. So I immigrated here from Cape Verde, and in Cape Verde, you would consider my family at the time middle to upper middle class, or maybe even well off.
Mm-hmm.
And then we came here, and my mother became a domestic worker, my dad became a factory worker, and we were clearly living below poverty or at poverty line or just a little bit above in Pawtucket.
Yep.
But I didn't know, and I wasn't aware, but I knew that there were certain things that, you know, financial stress was a thing. And so then I got exposed to my other mentors who were very wealthy, and I started going to private school, and I started seeing money.
You went to private school?
Yeah, I did. Lincoln School for Girls.
Oh, that? Shoot. Yes.
Baker School. And I paid for it by my mentors.
Yeah.
And I just started seeing money moving in different ways. Different ways. I was like, you're 16 getting a Benz? Wait, you just totaled it and you're getting a new one? I don't even have a car. I will never get a car.
Yeah.
For my parents, like, that's just not happening. Oh, you're going on to Paris for vacation? You're going to here and there? And I also grew up undocumented. Like, I didn't have papers, but illegal. So
wait, are you still?
No, I became illegal? A citizen almost 10 years ago.
Oh my God. Okay. I'm here to get married
and get my green card. You know, times are tough under this Trump administration.
I was trying to figure out what I was actually doing here.
Yeah. Wow. Would you have left? I could have paid you. You know, you could be running a business right
Listen,
now.
Listen, times are hard on the boulevard,
hey. Privilege, and you're not utilizing it.
Appreciate that.
So, to answer your question with that backstory, I would say that I also saw my parents kind of mishandle money or not know how to do that.
Yeah.
And I didn't want that to be me. And so I've been very, as my ex-big father would say, stingy, because I wouldn't let him use my credit cards. But anyway.
Okay, then.
Even though I was paying for everything, that's okay.
You're not hung up about it, though.
I've let it go.
Yeah.
I'm so carefree. But I would say I like to know that I'm debt-free. My relationship with money is one that I don't want money to have power over me.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be able to control it. And I don't need that much.
You want to be rich?
I've never aspired to be rich.
Are you one of those, I just want to be well-off people?
I want to be comfortable. I don't want to have to
comfortable, that's the word.
I don't want to have to think about where my next paycheck is coming from. I don't want to have to think about, will this money hold me over till I get paid? I don't want to feel like I'm tied to a job because I don't have savings to be able to leave and go do something else for 6 months until I find a new career or whatever it may be. I don't want money to hold me back. Like, I don't want to have debt. So, like, I don't have any loans. I've paid off all my student loans. I don't have any credit card debt. I pay it off every single month. So for me, like, when I talk to other people and I'm dating and like signs of showiness and flashiness, like a brand new car or, you know, doing this and that, like going on multiple trips, using that credit card, I get a little nervous because I want to talk about finances in the first date. But like people are very uncomfortable with that conversation. And they're like, why you want to know about my money? Why you want to know how much I make? And I'm like, because I'm at a certain level and I'm at a certain place and I have a child who costs a lot. And that puts me
So you're telling them, what do you say, date your wage?
I guess, but also I don't believe in that either, because I think everyone's career and life will change. Like one day I might be, like pretty soon, I want to go back for my PhD, so my salary is going to be drastically different.
Yeah.
Right, it's not going to be six figures anymore. It's going to be maybe like $40,000, and that is a different world than the one I'm living in now. But it, so it's not about dating your wage, but it's about, are you going to be putting me in debt? Right, like are you keeping up with the Joneses?
That's so real.
Like, are you trying to go on a trip every 2 months, 3 months, and do you have money to back that up, or are you just putting it on your credit card and hoping one day you're going to pay it off? And I don't want to do that. Like, I want to be able to live comfortably and without worry. So that's my relationship.
That's real. Man, I appreciate that. You've thought about this before, huh?
So much. So much so.
And what is your worst financial decision you've made?
Going to college? No, I'm kidding.
What is that?
I said going to college. But I don't know why I said that, because I got a full scholarship. So I didn't pay for anything. Let me see. I think the worst financial decision I made was listening to this ex-boyfriend of mine and buying an Audi, used Audi, as my first car. Because I was dating a Nigerian at the time, and he was like, you need to have a bomb-ass car to be seen with me. And I was like, what? What's going on? And I did, and it literally was the worst financial decision I could have made in grad school, where I had no money, and I was using my credit card to fix it, right? Like, I bought it for so cheap, and I had, like, one little gasket thing to change it with all this thousands of dollars. It was insane. I had to donate it after a year.
Wow.
I couldn't keep up on the repairs, and I was running it through the ground. I didn't know what I was doing with that car, but, yeah, I would say that, and supporting my baby daddy, because I thought I was doing something good for both of us.
Well, we'll leave that for date number two. Man, wow.
But I've recovered.
That's clearly. If you had to choose one thing to put all your money into, what would it be?
Dang, what's up with all these money questions?
I like to talk about money on the first date, too.
Into myself.
Yeah, education.
Invest in myself, but also invest in portfolios, stocks, those things. So it wouldn't be one thing. I wouldn't do that. But if money was no object, if I can say a better question, not a better one, an improvised question. Money was no object, what would I do with it? I'd open up my own clinic. My own clinic, design it the way I want it, the way that healthcare should be done, at least according to me. Make it super diaspora friendly, Black friendly, like really listen to Black women, really do midwifery the way I think it should be done, the midwifery model of care to the utmost degree, have long appointments, don't turn anyone away because of insurance status. That's what I would do.
I love that. Yeah. How your social media followers probably see you in one word?
I'm giving chaotic on that app. I would say that. But I also, I don't post a lot of selfies. I don't post a lot of pictures of myself. I'm not trying to be a baddie on Instagram. I do a lot of like awareness.
Only when you show your retro pictures.
Oh yeah,
you in college.
Retro pictures
with the fashion shots.
Lord have mercy, what was I thinking back then? But I thought I was hot. So I don't do that, but it is chaotic because it's like sometimes I'll post a little thirst trap, and then most of the time it's about like maternal health things, mm-hmm. or politics. Or,
it gets graphic on there.
Yeah, or like abortion, or like reproductive justice, like I'm, or like birth, mm-hmm. people giving birth.
It gets graphic on there.
It's chaotic. And I don't care.
No, I like it. I like it.
Learn something if you're following me.
Biggest lesson you've learned from a relationship?
I won't do a negative one, but I'll do a positive one. I've learned how to accept love. Because I realized up until my last relationship that I didn't know how to be loved, and I didn't know how to accept people loving me. And opening up and being vulnerable to the point that I could reciprocate that love. And honestly, I don't know if I've ever been in love because of that. That inability to let my guard down and talk to people and let them in and not be so hard all the time,
yeah.
not be this person that's like been through traumatic things and letting that be part of me. I think I've had love for people, and I do love the people that I've been with. I've had amazing relationships except for one. Like I would say, like out of 10 relationships, I haven't had 10, but out of 10, only one has been terrible.
It's a good track record.
I know. And I'm still friends with a lot of them, and I still like sometimes get lunch with them or hit them up on the phone. Mm-hmm.
You still hang out with the exes?
Absolutely. Goodbye.
I'm kidding.
I
was always the person I was always accused of like staying friends with his ex. So I get it.
How do you not stay friends with someone who's literally seen you naked?
Well, and, it depends how it ends off.
Right. Also, if they treated you badly, if they harmed you, I think they are closing soon. Or maybe they just were like, this is getting too intimate. Threw on the lights real quick.
Oh my God. Gotta ask them. All right, last one before they kick us out.
I don't think they're kicking us out, but maybe we can.
You guys are closed, right? Oh, okay. All right. Sorry, you had a little bit more. I hate being the person that like holds them up. So
yeah, what was I saying? I don't remember.
Out of 10 relationships.
Oh yeah, yeah. I am
only
the person.
One's been bad.
I think that unless you break up completely wrong. Actually, you know what? Let me say two, because I forgot about that man. But I would say it was such a short fling, 9 months, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that I like to keep my friendship, because first of all, a good relationship is based on friendship, right?
Absolutely.
If you are only seeing the person you're with as like a sexual object or someone to be in romantic love with,
yeah.
then you're, again, missing the humanity of that person. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to think that if I'm ever in a romantic relationship with you, that at least we're friends too. Not just to be best friends.
It's gotta be.
But we have to be friends. I have to get along with you.
Absolutely.
I would want to be with you as a friend, even if we weren't romantic. So when the romantic part ends, because there's different types of loves, right? When the romantic part, at least to me, I think, when the romantic part ends, that connection, that community that I built with you, I would like to think that that's still there.
Yeah.
And it's not that I'm hanging out with you every week, every day, like we used to. Obviously, the frequency goes down, and it might be that I see you every 10 years, like I do with my first boyfriend ever.
Yeah.
Or I might just chat with you on WhatsApp, or I might get lunch with you monthly.
We can text. We're in the same country. We don't have to be on WhatsApp.
They're not in the same country. I was the queen of long-distance relationship. And I've dated a lot of international people. Like, I used to say, like, my...
Nigerians that you met through the mail.
Yeah, he was a Nigerian prince. That's what he said. No, he was at residency at the same grad school that I went to. But But no. I dated a lot of international people, so yeah. WhatsApp is the main form of communication. Yeah. So, yeah.
That was one of the things I was going to ask you too. Mm-hmm. Just a quick detour. Like, you're very educated. Mm-hmm. Right? You've gone to... Can you run down where...
you want me to run down my resume?
Yeah, just... Not your whole, but like just...
So I went to Dartmouth College, which is an Ivy League school.
Absolutely.
And then I went to Yale, which is an Ivy League school.
You went to Dartmouth and Yale. Yeah. We'll stop there.
And then I teach at Brown.
And you teach at Brown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you only deal with Ivy Leagues, apparently, right?
It looks like.
Yeah, because that's one thing that I was like... Because I was going to start off by just being like, why are you single?
And because I'm educated.
Does that intimidate like a lot of men that you date? We're like, because I can't imagine.
I don't think so. But I think that as you get more educated, and actually a lot of women are, like, right? We're surpassing men in graduating from university.
I keep hearing about that.
We all have bachelor's degree. But I'm a big proponent, I say this all the time. I don't think education or intelligence is based on degrees.
Mm-hmm.
I'm part of the millennial group that had college stuffed down their throats as the only thing and everything that you need to be.
Yeah.
And I don't believe that at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually really value a non-college educated person who mm-hmm. is extremely about their intelligence, who like reads
yeah.
books,
yeah,
who
yeah.
is down to... The thing for me that needs to be there is curiosity of the world
mm-hmm.
and wanting to learn more. Like if you're shut down, if you have a closed mind and you're not interested in finding out how the world works from a different point of view, or like wanting to know different cultures or wanting to know different philosophies of life, then you're not for me.
Yeah.
Like I always want to be constantly challenged. That's what education does for me, and why yeah. I love to be educated, and why my next step is getting the PhD. It's because it allows me time to think. It allows me time to read books. It allows me time to be in community with others who are thinking, who are challenging the status quo. And so to answer your question of why am I still single, I think the more I become educated, the more I'm disillusioned with the patriarchal way that we date
mm.
and the gender norms and the gender roles that we have to fit, right? And I'm like, I don't cook, I don't clean.
Wait.
And I don't plan to. I mean, I
clean. All these degrees, all these books, you didn't read one about cooking.
I mean, I've read many cookbooks. The thing is, when I say I don't cook and I don't clean, it's not that I don't know how. It's want to. And so that's the difference. I think when people hear that, they're like, oh, God, this girl can't even cook me a meal.
What about a man that, like, wants somebody that does do that for them? Like, that's a part of, like,
bring
how
that
he
out
feels
in
love.
Me. Mm. It's there. It's just
how do I bring
something.
It out of you? Like, yo, I'm hungry.
You're dumb. No. It's more of like, am I doing that every single day like it's a chore?
Yeah, yeah.
Like you need a mom? Or is that something that I'm doing for you because you really love this food that I make and yeah. I'm making it out of love? That's a difference, right? If I have to be like my mom who comes home every night and is like, oh, now I have to cook again for this family
every day,
new food every day. That's different than you coming home to a home-cooked meal because I'm like, man, my man deserves this tonight, like, or whatever, you know. It's very different.
I get that.
I don't want it to be an expectation of what I am just because I'm a woman. You should know how to cook too. Like, you should be in the kitchen throwing down just as much as I can or I will.
I can cook.
Yeah.
I think I've cooked better than most women I've dated.
Really? And that's fantastic. Yeah. I love a man who cooks.
But then it would end up being like crazy imbalance
mm-hmm.
and like that's something I don't want. Like, I don't want to cook for you the rest of my life. You know what I'm saying? Like, because I love doing it doesn't mean I want to do it every... I don't want to be your mom.
Like, takeout.
Yeah,
takeout works. We can order out.
I've been accused of holding... This is the fourth Sade song.
Somebody's going in.
I've been accused of holding... My friend said it one time, and I was like, as much as I try to go back, he said that I hold a fork like a shovel. You hold it like that.
Yeah.
My friend Q always, like, points that out. Actually, a few of my friends pointed it out, but, like, It's just, this feels so weird, man.
I didn't hold it like this. Like you're.
Not holding it.
Oh, okay.
He said I eat like I always just got out of jail.
For real.
He said I just
take it easy, shoveling food in your mouth.
All right, that's cool.
Trauma over there. I'm here.
So the last one I got here for you is who would you spend your last 24 hours with?
If you asked me that 5 years ago, I would say my mom, but now I have my child.
Excluded. Those two family members?
Mm-hmm. Like a celebrity?
Anybody.
Yeah, you know what? It would just have to be my best friend. We're soulmates, so.
What's her name?
Carlene. Yeah. We vibe really well. We would be laughing, especially if I knew I was going to die. That'd be the girl. I would be like, come on, let's go take an edible. Let's just get right. And just ride this out. Say goodbye to each other. Miss each other. Yeah.
All right, so this one, straight rapid fire.
Okay.
I got this from Deepak Chopra.
Okay.
Who are you?
Anna Sophia.
What do you want?
Love. Yeah.
What is your purpose?
To be here, to serve the community, bring life into this world.
Yeah.
Not from my portal, but help others.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. What are you grateful for?
The existence of being on this earth. Mm. This random rock in the sky.
Thank you for coming.
Yeah, thanks for having me, for paying for my dinner.
I mean, you'll get your turn.
We'll see. I don't know if this is going to be a second thing. You're
going to stop picking up my phone now?
About that.
Oh, man. This is really done. You say you don't want that little bit?
No. Yeah? I'm good. You got it.
See, I would have the rest of that ketchup. I don't know. Your mouth has been. This is the first day, girl.